something and everything. My name is Ezra Hill. My co-host Casey and I are going to be discussing a wide variety of topics from the perspective of two Midwestern middle-aged minds. We're not experts, just everyday ordinary people like you. We hope you might find our podcast inadvertently interesting and informative. Hopefully it'll amount to more than a hill of beans.
Another reason, you know, that's up there that people get divorced is sadly domestic violence.
Yeah, you can't give them the old backhand anymore. In this day and age.
In this day and age.
You just can't smack them around.
It's like just not a thing.
Except maybe if they want that in the bedroom.
Oh, they may.
Yeah, that's why it's important to have a safe word.
A safe word.
I'm kidding, or am I?
I don't know. I'm growing concerned right now.
Yes, obviously, domestic violence. I'm kind of joking and kidding right now, but that's something you have to take serious, and you should not put up with that. And if that's going on in your marriage, I don't know that you can stop that. You can get out of it, but. You know, once somebody starts doing those things, and it kind of becomes in their nature, I don't know that you can get out of that. You know, probably the best thing for you to do is to get out of that relationship.
Mm-hmm. I mean, unless that person's going to seek help.
Yeah. It would take some serious in-depth help for an individual that's beating on his significant other or woman, whatever. It's going to take some in-depth help, and it's not going to be something that can be fixed overnight.
Well, and when we talk about domestic violence, that goes into physical abuse, emotional abuse, and controlling behavior. So you might not even be a person that is getting abused, but your partner, is trying to control you or isolate you or keep you from your friends.
Yes, it's right? Not just the physical.
Right.
It can be verbal, emotional, that type of thing.
And of course, this is going to lead to divorce. This is so unhealthy.
Absolutely. And that, you know, a lot of times, I think in a lot of cases, a divorce can be prevented with communication and therapy and, you know, doing things like reading the five love languages and all that. But when it comes to abuse, that's a psychological thing that I don't know. Do I think it could be corrected? Yes, but it's not, like I said, it's not going to be an easy thing. It's not going to be an overnight thing. It's going to take a lot of in-depth therapy. And that's just a really tough spot to be in. And, you know, I definitely seek out help in therapy, how to handle that situation. Because the best thing for you to do is get out of that situation and away from it, and then figure out what you're going to do.
Yeah. Amen. Remove yourself from that situation. I mean, I feel like therapy, you know, could help the emotional abuse and the controlling behavior than the physical abuse. I think physical abuse is something you don't mess around with. You know, I don't know how many chances you really ever give on that. I say you lay a hand on me once, I'm out.
Yeah, it's just there's no justification for that. Mm-mm. Even if you say, well, she provoked me or what, you know, they just absolutely walk away. Do not lay a hand on someone.
Yeah.
Whether it be your partner or a kid, you know, the kids, do not do it.
Yeah. Another thing that leads to divorce that's very common is substance abuse.
Yeah.
I mean, that really does strain a marriage.
Absolutely. Substance abuse. Because one, you're probably spending more money on a substance that you don't have. It means you're not in the right state of mind a lot of times. So it's just going to cause issues. And again, it's one of those things that's going to require a lot of help.
Yeah. And if you know, I think that substance abuse can, I think there's different tiers of, you know, what substance abuse can do to a relationship. You know, you have the substance abuse to where your partner needs to, you know, be in treatment. And it's very severe. But then you have like your light, and I don't even like using that word because I don't believe that anything's light. But you have, you know, people that, you know, use prescription medications, drug addictions, alcoholism, to numb themselves. And so there, that circles back to the communication within a relationship. If you are doing these things to numb yourself and medicating yourself, whether it's through alcohol or whatever, and you're not facing the issues, well, you're completely growing apart now because you're too busy numbing yourself and not communicating with your partner what is really driving you to want to self-medicate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. I agree.
Yeah. And then, you know, also as people, you know, grow older, they can change. And so they're growing apart, which can lead also to divorce.
Yeah. And I think, again, it goes back to poor communication, not spending time with your partner, not learning what their needs are. Because I hear often of where people get married, they have kids, and they're so involved in their kids' lives and doing all these different things that when they become empty nesters, they've grown so far apart that they end up getting a divorce.
Yeah. And then, you know, and it comes back to what we just talked about, but if you're pursuing different interests and hobbies and you're focused more on your individual goals instead of the relationship goals.
Yeah.
You're doing nothing to nurture that relationship. But here's the thing. I have a question. You hear a lot, you know, oh, well, why did you get divorced? Or, hey, they got divorced because, you know, it is, well, we just grew apart. And, you know, it's amicable. How do you say it?
Amicable.
Yes. You know, it was a mutual thing. And we just grew apart. We just became different people. And so it's okay. It's okay. And, you know, I hear that. And I'm like, oh, okay, good. Well, I'm happy you guys are okay, you know, and everything's okay. But is there a way, you know, I feel like it's a validated excuse that people use to get a divorce. Like, listen, we, you know, we just grew apart. But it does that have to happen? I think that's what we're talking about. Do you have to grow apart? You know, I think, no, you don't, right?
No. If you start to feel you're growing apart, then you almost have to start your relationship over. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is get back to dating, communicating. What are your needs? What do I need to do to fill up your love tank?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Strategizing how to get back to your partner. Yeah.
Right.
That needs to start. Another one is, something that leads to divorce is a lack of commitment, like the unwillingness to work through challenges.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy to throw in the towel, and quit and give up on your marriage, you know, these days. But the reality is, well, you know, we've talked about this, you kind of, the honeymoon phase usually lasts about a year or two, and then real life sets in, and that's when the work begins in the relationship. And you're going to have to do things you don't want to do. You're going to have difficult conversations to make the relationship work.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Love and commitment is a choice.
Amen. It is a choice and you got to work at it. Another one is differences in parenting style. We see this a lot. We see this especially with people that who were already married and they have blended families. They come in and they mesh their kids together. The parents have different ideas on how they should be parented. But then also we see that in, you know, relationships where there were no divorces and it's, you know, the same partner. And they still have a different idea on how things should be going down with the kids.
Yeah. I do know one thing for sure. My parents were, they were in the same agreement on punishment and spankings.
Oh, yeah.
And whatever.
Did you get some pow pows?
Whatever they could get their hands on to whip me.
I bet you got a lot of pow pows.
Airbrush sticks.
Yeah. Were you
a... That's a big no-no nowadays. Like, when I look back at it, it doesn't even bother me. Like, I was like, man, I was a little shit sometimes. I deserve the belt, mm-hmm. you know? And it wasn't like my dad just beat the hell out of me with the belt. No, I mean, it was like a couple good licks, and you know what? Mm-hmm. I didn't do that again.
Yeah. Sometimes I think really, you know, I think the kind of spanking we're talking about is not the one that's actually going to leave the mark, but it more is puts a little bit of fear into the kid of who the superior is in the house and what it means to break rules and consequences, but not actually physically hurting the kid. You know, I think that that's a thing, like you don't leave the mark, right? I think it's more of creating this, like, I mean, back then, I'm not talking about now, but I think that was their goal.
Yes. I would agree. And, you know, differences in parenting styles when you're married is something you can work on together. Because let me tell you, when you get divorced, differences in parenting style is a huge deal and it doesn't get any better. So if you think getting a divorce is going to help your parenting style, it's not, because you're both still going to be involved and you're going to have even less control over things.
Oh yeah. And then when your kids go to your house or their house, you both are teaching them totally two different things and, you know, not meeting the same goals because they're under two different households.
Right.
Yeah. Like on the weekends, they're, you know, doing this over there and then going over here and got these rules over here. And
it'll only get worse.
So it's good to sit down and talk about how to parent these kids together. Yeah,
absolutely.
Amen. All right. So another thing, and this is sad, but something that leads to divorce is health issues.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, it's sad.
That is sad.
It puts a strain, like serious health issues have proven to put major strains on relationships.
That's a sad one for sure.
Well, it creates like financial issues can.
Yeah.
And then sometimes the person that they married ends up feeling like the caretaker and not the partner. Yeah. But isn't it in sickness or in health?
Exactly. But these days, those words don't seem to mean anything anymore.
Nope. Things get hard. People want to check out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Emotional and physical abuse leads to divorce.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of already talked about this with
domestic violence.
But yeah, absolutely.
You know, but emotional abuse, I do think that there is a scale here that, you know, maybe would not be so heavy to where we'd put it under that category, but emotional abuse can be just, constantly being like a condescending person to your partner to where it's not even like seen as emotional abuse. And they're probably conditioned by this time and they take it, but you know, you're wearing them down. And when you're condescending over and over again, they're going to drift away from you. The emotional bond is going to be broken.
Yeah, absolutely. Emotional abuse is just as bad as physical abuse, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another one. That's something that can't be fixed overnight. You know, the person who is abusing someone emotionally or physically is going to need some serious help and therapy. And if they're not willing to get the help, then get the hell out of that relationship.
Say peace. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's sad. I mean, All right, so on to the next one. Religious or cultural differences can lead to divorce because it creates challenges, like in a marriage, as far as, you know, the important decisions in life.
Mm-hmm.
And say like you are a divided household and where those stances are, and it's time to make those important decisions. Like let's say getting baptized or, you know, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like maybe one says yes, the other one says, no, we shouldn't do that.
Right. And those are things that should probably be discussed in the beginning of your relationship. But at some point, you know, say you get married and at the time you're not religious, you don't go to church. And then over time, someone in the relationship says, hey, you know, my girlfriend invited me to her prayer group. I went, you know, I really liked it. I kind of want to start going to church, blah, blah, blah. You know, and and that can be a good thing. And I think as a partner, you should be open to that, at least to have conversations about it. And maybe it's not your thing to where you're like, hey, I'm not going to attend church. But if she wants to talk about it or talk about the experience and what it does for her and how it makes her feel. And it can be the other way if the, you know, if the guy starts going to church or whatever. I think, you know, the other partner should be open to that and willing to have a topic about or a conversation about it and discuss it, because obviously, again, it goes back to something that your spouse does that you might not like or be interested in. You're going to have to make some sacrifices.
Workaholic.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Do you have any, like, do you have any friends that actually got divorced because one of the spouses worked way too much?
Not specifically that I can think of, but I mean, I know that's a big issue, where if one's, spouse spends a lot of time at work, they come home and work, you know, it doesn't seem like they can get away from it. It can interfere with the relationship for sure.
Well, yeah.
And at some point you do have to make a decision of, you know, what's more important here, my wife, my family, or my job. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously a career is important. You got to have money to pay your bills and this and that, but you have to somehow make time for your wife and family.
Yeah. So if you're working all the time. Or
if it's the other way around, if the woman's a workaholic, you know, I mean, I'm not.
Yeah, either or.
I get caught up from my perspective sometimes, but it can be either or.
Yeah. And because, you know, you will, like, if you're not getting the attention from your spouse, you're feeling neglected.
Exactly.
And so if all that energy is going into work, you are, you know, neglecting the relationship.
You have to be able to find a way to disconnect from work and focus on your spouse and your family when you need to.
Yep. Another thing that leads to divorce is, you know, and I know that right now this is being more openly talked about, which I think is great, but mental health issues can lead to divorce when they're untreated or acknowledged, because that person in your relationship doesn't really understand what's going on. And so I do think that that can sometimes lead to divorce because it's not being recognized or treated.
Yes, absolutely. I experienced a little bit of that when I was married. There were some mental health issues there that needed to be addressed and they weren't getting addressed. And absolutely, because mental health, it's such a tricky area, because you have to be able to come forward and admit, hey, I need some help. You know, I'm having a hard time processing this or doing this or that, you know, dealing with this, controlling my emotions, you know, and that's a huge, and a lot of people don't want to admit that because they think it's a weakness, you know.
Or like, even if you are, you know, to the point where you're so depressed and say you're not openly talking about your feelings to your partner, right? They're going to look at you and they're going to think that you're unhappy with them. And they're going to feel like there's something wrong in the relationship because you're not telling them that you're in a depression and you may not even know why. So like opening up to your partner, acknowledging it, and then getting the help you need. But,
yeah,
you know, they say a lot of relationships end because it was unidentified or addressed.
Yeah.
Only to later find out that that was the issue.
Yeah, that makes sense. And, you know, I think if it's possible, do some couples therapy here and there, even if you don't think there's anything wrong. I mean, it's just good to get someone else's perspective, and it's good to vent to people about your marriage sometimes, just so you can work on making it better.
Yeah. Another thing that leads to divorce, is when there's unresolved conflicts. When you're in a toxic, you know, environment in a marriage, typically it is because, like, you know, we started this podcast today talking about infidelity, right? Mm-hmm. That if it's not addressed and taken care of the way it should out of the gate, that is going to become an unresolved issue within your marriage.
Yeah. Absolutely. You have to be able to work through your differences and your conflicts and have topics. And sometimes it might be, hey, we agree to disagree, but you have to move on. You can't dwell on those things, and you can't throw them back in your other person's face. You have to be able to discuss, come up with some solutions, or simply, hey, we agree to disagree on this subject. It's over. We're moving on, you know? Just having arguments and then, you know, you walk away and then you come back and argue again, and it continues and mm-hmm. it lags on for days and weeks. And then next thing you know, you're arguing about something else that it just feels like you're constantly arguing and bickering. That's terrible for a marriage, and you're doomed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but I also do think that there's the category of people that, you know, the next one is the loss of trust, and mm-hmm. that absolutely, once that trust is broken, that is their line. And if you have broken that trust, they are out.
Yeah. Once in a relationship,
and they may not want to work at it. They might just say, listen, you've committed the one thing that I will not tolerate, that I will never get over.
Yes. That's trust is a big one. And once you lose trust in your partner, it's hard to get it back.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, again, the trust issue, you're heading down that road, that almost that point of no return, you know, where the relationship's doomed.
Yeah.
Can you recover? Yes, but it's going to take a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that leads to divorce is, and you know, we see this a lot, and this I think can be challenging for all couples, but the interference from family and friends.
Oh.
And I think probably.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think both of those come into play in a lot of relationships that become toxic or, I don't really know how I want to explain it, but the external influences, that puts a strain on marriage.
Yeah. I believe when you're married, your wife is number one, or your spouse is your number one before friends and family. And oftentimes people have a hard time differentiating between the two, and they let their friends and family get involved in their
relationship,
their marriage business.
Yeah.
And they should not.
Well, and here's the scoop. Like,
absolutely not.
Yeah. They should not be in your shit. And here's the thing is, if you don't like your sister's husband, because it's not who you would have picked for her to marry, you know, if he's treating her well and, you know, and she's taken care of and she's happy, but you don't like him, stay out of it.
Yeah.
That's a you issue. If your sister's happy, leave it alone.
Yes. And also you need to be prepared to, kick your brother off your couch.
Yeah. Don't let the brother move in with you.
Dude, you know, you've been here, you know, because at some point your wife's going to start getting irritated. He only said, he said he's just going to be here a couple of weeks to get back on his feet. It's been a year. So, absolutely nobody needs to be in your marriage's business except you and your wife.
This other element, though, that goes into something that leads into divorce is when we talk about family, it is, so you get married, right? And then you have kids, right? And you have in-laws on both sides. Okay, who, we've seen this a lot. Who gets to see the kids more? Who gets more time with the grandkids?
Yeah.
Why this? Why that? Is everything equal?
And then try to outdo each other with Christmas presents.
Whatever it is. Yeah. But it is hard on a relationship. And so to, you know, and I like, you know, talking about this stuff because someday I will be in that situation where I will be, you know, a grandma and have grandbabies. And there's going to be another side that I really, you know, stay open to the fact that there are two families and don't start making things a competition.
Yeah.
You know, and just be thankful for any time you do get, but note that the kids are probably doing the best they can with what they can do.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. So we're going to, you know, wrap this up with one more. And, you know, I think I'm saving the best for last and what I think, in my opinion, but it's unmet expectations.
Yes. Again, communication is very important because if you don't know what the expectations are of your relationship, of your partner in the relationship of marriage, your chances are you're going to be let down a lot. Mm-hmm. And not just with marriage, but one of the hardest things I've learned to deal with in life is to stop trying to expect people to live up to your expectations because they're not mind readers. And especially if there's no relation, you know, if there's not a close relationship there and there's no communication about expectations, how can you expect someone to live up to your expectations? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So people are getting divorced over unmet expectations.
Yeah. And that goes back to,
you gotta talk about it.
Not meeting. Yeah. Communication, not meeting your partner's needs. Mm-hmm. What are the expectations of this relationship? You know,
yeah.
What do I need to be happy? There's nothing wrong with asking that. It's very important.
It is important. So, yeah, I mean, we just did the segment on Gary Chapman and the 5 love languages. So you guys can check that out. I think that that is a great book. And Ezra swears that if everybody reads this book, then you will probably have a much better chance at succeeding and not getting a divorce.
Absolutely.
All right, you guys, you can check us out on Facebook, join our group, Hill of Beans with Ezra and Casey. Also, if you want to shoot us an email, it's hofbeans@gmail.com. Don't forget to give us a thumbs up and subscribe to our podcast. Peace.